Call from the Doll on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John Downing with us on the line with Call from the Doll. And John, this morning in the world's third busiest train station, Gare du Nord in Paris, there has been discovery of an unexploded bomb dating back to World War II. And it's caused major disruption to morning traffic to and from the Gare du Nord train station. The French National Railway Company has said, of all weeks for this to happen, you couldn't make it up if you were writing a drama in the context of what Europe and Ireland are committing to in terms of defence spending and preparing for conflict, shall we call it that, in if you look at the Emmanuel Macron way of looking at things.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary development, a macabre development. These things occur from time to time. 10 years in Belgium, every other year in Flanders, a farmer is injured, or sometimes there are even deaths when they're out ploughing Flanders fields, because there's still stuff there, and that's from the other war. That's more than a century ago. So it is extraordinary, but it does remind us, I suppose, to me, it reminds us that how much have we learned in any of this, because Europe is rearming 80 years after all the horrors of Nazism and so on. Germany is now leading the pack in Europe to rearm. We're facing off against Russia, and we're going around in circles. It's not an encouraging time, really, Jerry, you know?
No. And look, from that point of view, we'll try not to look at everything through the prism of Donald Trump, but it's hard when looking at all the politics this week, including what's in the Dáil and outside the Dáil, not to escape him. Even on our first subject, John, the government's, you know, liquefied natural gas decision, It opens the way for the potential for a development of something along the lines of that, either commercially or the state-led operation in Ballylongford, because of, I suppose, the need for energy security because of the crisis that has intensified. Suggestions that it will placate perhaps maybe Trump if we buy American LNG, and all of those sort of factors coming into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, for years and years, European prosperity was built on cheap Russian gas, and then Ukraine blew up, and there were two pipelines going into Germany and thence across Europe, and it's still a factor in this war. We had Micheál Martin at two summits this week, one in up near Liverpool, and then he went from there to Brussels. Two of the 27 EU states very much opposed to their counterparts' strategy on Ukraine, and natural gas, Russian natural gas, was a factor in both Slovakia and Hungary, going against the flow there. So yeah, it used to be a very, very intricately interwoven world. Now that is beginning to come asunder, and that is questioning, you know, the future prosperity of many nations, Ireland included.
And how much, to bring it down to the local level, John, how important is what happens next now for the political ambitions of the government in terms of the Kerry TDs? Minister Nora Foley is on his programme saying, look, this opens the way not just on the gas storage idea that'll be state-led, €300 million, but it opens the way for a commercial development, that finally something will be delivered, there'll be something as part of the wider project there, LNG, bringing some jobs, bringing some industry to the area, and that they'll be able to put their stamp and say, look, we deliver this, or I deliver this.
Well, obviously, it would be huge for North Kerry, West Limerick, Clare and environs if the Ballylongford development went ahead. There is a compelling logic for it, because obviously the only way we can really, the longer and more sustainable way to go is the development of renewables. But it's slow and not always as reliable. We need fallbacks. Are we going to get two? I don't know. The thing about the Ballylongford development is that it's mired in a legal dispute at the moment. So we'll have to wait and see. But there is a certain compelling logic to it. Fracked gas, the energy experts will tell us that there is already some fracked gas in the mix in
The pipeline from Moffat, from the UK.
From Scotland.
Yeah. And so, an argument over certification down the line. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that one. John, you mentioned busy days for Micheál Martin. We'll talk about the summits he's been at in Europe in a moment. But have a listen to this. I was actually just happened to be watching US television myself last night when this cropped up. Donald Trump has taken to doing press conferences now in the Oval Office. And as part of the show, and we'll call it a show because that's what it is.
He signs
all these proclamations and executive orders, and he talks to the media. And this is what he said when a proclamation was put in front of him about Irish America.
Proclaiming March 2025 as Irish American Heritage Month in honor of, to commemorate our amazing friendship between America and Ireland, and to just honor all of the Irish Americans. And I'm a little bit biased because I'm American and Irish, but...
Well, great people. And they voted for me in heavy numbers, so I like them even now. You have to like it. You know, you're not supposed to, but you have to like that. So for the Irish American people, proclamation.
There you go, John. Are we in the good books? Does Micheál Martin have nothing to worry about?
Well, I mean, the difficulty, I suppose, for Seachtain na Gaeilge, ní hÉireann rud a dúirt sé ní a bheadh mar rud a dhearg sé inniuamh. What he says yesterday is not necessarily a guide to what he's going to say today. You wouldn't know what the man really could. You're basically asking me, will Micheál Martin be all right next Tuesday stroke Wednesday when he goes in with his bowl of shamrock? Well, he might be. Then again, he mightn't. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. We are very vulnerable here with the Donald, the stance he has taken against the EU, particularly. Then there is his his commerce secretary, his main man on trade, Howard Lutnick, who, before he even got into the job, had singled out Ireland.
Yeah.
We're told there's $53 billion trade balance in Ireland's favour. That was figures, I think, 2023 figures. It's a heck of a lot of money. We come in at number four, given the scale of what we do. Of course, that is distorted by the number of US multinationals here and our sort of strange relationship with them, where they export stuff. Everything is exported and anything we use is re-imported by and large, particularly in pharma. We do stick out, and you wouldn't know where this one will go. But he also highlights, yes, a heck of a lot. 330 million people in America, 10% of them acknowledge some form of Irish heritage or background. And he is right. Very many of them are Republican voters.
A lot of them voted for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them voted for him.
Ireland has been very one-dimensional in its relations with the USA, very heavily driven by the Democrats and the historic links there. And, you know, we're beginning to broaden the canvas, but, I mean, it's long overdue. So there's an awful lot there.
There is. And what do you make, John, then of that trade imbalance? And what is, well, is it a row or isn't it a row? This phone call between Simon Harris and Marco Rubio, and Harris saying it was a good phone call, went on for 90 minutes. They talked away about different things, and they pointed out that Ireland is a heavy investor in the United States. Then there was what was called a State Department report of the phone call, which said that Marco Rubio raised the trade imbalance, signalling, I suppose, maybe trouble for Micheál Martin in the Oval Office. And then Simon Harris saying, no, 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 that's not right. Yeah. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, it's very difficult to see these. I get some of these sometimes on email from of the British side, these sort of readout of, you know, what was discussed and how. I don't know. I mean, it's a hard one to call. The Taoiseach is determined that Marco Rubio, and he did not touch on that issue. The one strong point that Ireland does have is the level of involvement in investment in the US economy. 115,000 people employed by Irish companies. Kerry Group among them, Kerry, Cement, Roadstone, that those sort of companies heavily invested in the States, 115,000 jobs present in all 50 US states. That is a positive, but and you know, I'm sure it will be stressed to the nth degree, but that said, it's a tricky situation to be in. It's hard to know. I mean, which obviously one or other, the U.S. State Department, that's basically the U.S. Department of Foreign Affairs, and Simon Harris, one is saying black, the other is saying white, so they can't both be right, but which, I don't know.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
No, John, just looking at where things stand with Ireland and the kind of the twin debate which is going on at the moment about the increase in defence spending, which the Taoiseach Simon Harris says we definitely need to do. We need to get our house in order. We need to reform, rebuild our defence forces so we can protect our air and our sea. But also then the wider European context of what's needed for Ukraine. The summit that took place at the weekend in response to the Zelensky office, Oval Office crisis, if I can call it that, did not involve Micheál Martin because we're a neutral country. The Council of Europe meetings this week did involve him in terms of the European response. And what does all that do to our issues around our neutrality? How delicately will Micheál Martin and Irish government have to tread here in order to provide support, upgrade our military without being accused of, and as they are being accused of by some on the opposition benches, of warmongering?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tightrope. Certainly, the whole dynamic has changed. Europe is rearming. There was all sorts of proposals, a two-pronged thing. Firstly, whatever happens to reinvigorate European defence, invest far more in armaments and army and personnel and training and the whole lot. And secondly, in the immediate, to come to the aid of Ukraine and to address the gap left by the announcement by President Trump that the USA was withdrawing support from Ukraine. It's reckoned Ukraine has about 4 weeks before the consequences of that bite. So there's a proposal to put as much as $800 billion. Germany has abandoned its so-called debt brake. It's prepared to borrow to invest in defence. There's a strong suggestion that, among other things, that the EU should use its capacity to borrow on international money markets to do much the same, to go along in the same direction. Ireland is going to have to participate. It doesn't mean we have to abandon neutrality, but it does mean that here at home, whatever the government decide to do, they will be accused of backsliding and sloping away from neutrality on the sly. We've already seen that this week also. Moving the so-called triple lock, to authorise Irish participation in overseas peace missions, to reduce that to a double lock, so to take the UN permission element out of that and just leave it as something to be approved by the Dáil and the government.
Yeah.
Already Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats, others decrying that as a move away from the avowed promise that whatever we did internationally, it would be under the aegis of the United Nations.
Yeah.
So we already see, you know, the battle lines, they were always there, but now we see them in plain sight.
Yeah, and is part of the problem here that the tone of the debate, can we have a rational debate? Or, as I'm seeing online, and by some in the Dáil, the word warmonger gets thrown in as soon as you start talking about it, and, you know, why don't you send your children first into a foreign conflict if you're so enthusiastic about it? That sort of language going to get us anywhere in terms of having a rational debate about our own defence?
No, it doesn't help us understand what's going on and how things will work, Jerry. There is no doubt about that. And it's disappointing to see, you know, that immediately. It's a bit like the whole immigration issue. If I start talking to you about immigration control, you're going to get texts saying that I'm an old bigot and that I'm against people from other countries being in Ireland and so on. And actually, there are issues around the need to control numbers and you know, get real about immigration also. And that does not equate to excluding people or being against people. In actual fact, we need migrant labour. We wouldn't have a health service, we wouldn't have a catering service, we would have nothing without it. But and we need the skills, the IT skills, etc. And similarly, when you talk about defence, the world has changed. We need massive investment in the Air Corps and in the Navy particularly, but also in ground forces. We need to do that. We need a cultural change in our view of the world. But if you go back on the history of these things, written brilliantly, only recently I read a book by Ryle Dwyer, published in the 1990s, of Ryle Dwyer of Tralee, who examines how basically in a couple of sentences, we interned German seamen
and airmen
who wound up in this country. But by and large, while there was a bit of window dressing about interning British people, but by and large, they were put in a car and sent to Newry.
They were.
And repatriated. So, you know, that neutrality, it's a bit of a totem pole, a bit of a sacred cow. It is what the government of the day decides it must be.
Yeah.
We don't have to join NATO. I don't know that they're particularly fagged whether we do or not. But we do have to invest heavily in our own defences. And then we have to cooperate with friendly neighbours with whom we cooperate on so many other issues. We are already anyway, because if you want a one-liner, who is defending the seas off South Kerry? Answer the RAF.
Yeah,
you know?
They certainly are at the moment. John, on to more domestic issues. No more electricity grants, no more help out with the utility bill, despite the fact that they're still high, climbing in some areas. You know, the effects of inflation are still with us, but it's going to be a tough decision. We'll hear more about that, do you think?
Definitely. I mean, certainly the government arguments are strong when they say, look, if you have a temporary measure and then the temporary measure becomes a rollover every year and it's renewed, then that ceases to be a temporary measure. And they were able to fund grants to help people pay electricity bills in good times. Spool on a few years if we're looking at trade wars and tariffs and economic consequences of that. The money isn't going to be that floor shook in the state coffers. So that argument is there. However, there are arrears, there are people in difficulty. And I suppose the issue is that we are paying way over the odds for all sorts of technical reasons. We are among the more expensive in the EU for energy. So that is perhaps a ticking time bomb. These things pass in times of largesse. They pass without too much notice. They can become a real focal point for anger in less prosperous times.
Indeed. John, the other row that is rumbling on finally is the one in relation, and it'll come into focus in a couple of weeks' time because of the Dáil recess next week in St Patrick's Day, but the row in relation to Dáil speaking rights. Michael Healy-Rae having a go online at the opposition saying they're all squabbling over 8 minutes. The opposition are united and have had to unite to take on the government in this, and is one of the collateral issues of that, that they're also going to be united on a single candidate for the presidency.
Yeah, the question is who. That will be difficult. We had the precedent, Dick Spring, again, going back to 1990, managed to do something of a political Houdini act in those times and get Mary Robinson endorsed as a unitary left candidate. This one will be difficult. A lot of it is down to who they would pick.
Francis Black, perhaps. Catherine Connolly signalled apparently her openness to a tilt at the Oris.
Yes, these names occur. Claire Hanna of the SDLP, but you can forget that because Sinn Féin are not going to endorse an SDLP person. Francis Black, you know, I mean, you know, when you look back at the history of this, you and I say Francis Black, we'll say, well, people of a certain generation would say, yeah, the singer Mary Black's sister, the Black family. And then you'd say, really, president. But then again, you say, well, Mary Robinson, Mary McAleese, you know, who were these people if you go back in time?
Yeah.
There is potential there, but it's very tentative in right now. A lot of it will be the look of the person.
On the other hand, John, there's big names that go in. Sometimes big political beasts go in and they find it's a totally different style of election go the way they want it to go.
Yeah, no, it's completely horses for courses. It's the craziest election. I've been very close to it on a number of occasions, and it's different. It's a mad stuff, raking up all sorts of ancient history
and the political front, John, finally, right? Left-wing parties getting together. Will this be a test? The left can finally get together and all march in one direction in Irish politics.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly would. They have a very poor history of collaborating because they focus on their own differences. And I'm more left than you. You're rather weak as a lefty. You're not really a proper lefty. So yes, it would be a great indicator. If it was doable, then other things would be doable potentially, and we could have.
And has the government stirred up more trouble than it's worth with their fight over the speaking rights? If they're getting a more organised, more cooperative opposition.
Well, they certainly have. The look of things is that they have given a very fractious and divided opposition one thing at least to organise around. And they certainly, right now, time and place, that could change. But right now, they also have a great deal of public support because people get it. They say, look, you're either opposition or you're government. You can't be both.